Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners, I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception, a podcast dedicated to the wide receivers. Are you as confident in your flex as you are in your wide receiver one? I didn't think so. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will Manso is joining us on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline. And as we talk some football here, remember, if you're looking for Canes gear or Dolphins gear, probably looking for Canes gear more than Dolphins gear is my, that's my guess. But you check out Caneswear in Davie on University Drive or check them out online at caneswear.com. Will Manso, sports anchor and reporter at Local 10 here in Miami. Will, so the Dolphins put up another stinker last night. Now, is this thing completely off the rails, or do you still have the opinion of, hey, just, you know, grind through the next 2 weeks, next two games, and Tua will be back, and there's still plenty of season left?
You know, when he went down, that was my original thought, outside of hoping, first of all, he's okay and that he gets cleared and, you know, whatever decision he makes long term, all indications seem to be he's going to be back and he wants to be back. To me, obviously, they're a different team with Tua. I think they still can be a competitive team. But I will say my opinion on them has changed, though. When you date back to just even last year, the way the season closed and the way the season started, this offense hasn't been right in a while. And just because they're better with Tua, which you don't have to be a football expert to see, they are better with Tua. This offense is made for him. McDaniel set it up, you know, to have the QB they want for this offense. This offense has lost a lot of the luster. That, man, the talk of this is changing the NFL and the motion and Tyreek and Waddle and all these weapons. We haven't seen that since the middle of last season. It's going on a long time now. So my faith is things will get better if Tua's healthy and back, but I don't think it's going to get better to what we were all talking preseason of, hey, this is a team that can win a playoff game finally, make a run. I don't know how they turn that around the way things look on the offensive line, the play callings, everything as a team right now seems to be going in the wrong direction.
And, Will, speaking of that with the offense too, where – yesterday before the game, I was talking about, hey, McDaniel knows what he's doing. They know they have really literally the fourth-string quarterback. Tyler Huntley was four down the line. He's going to figure it out. They're going to change some things. I didn't see it. Like, it was almost like embarrassing that they were still trying to run the same stuff. Are we questioning McDaniel? Because I was gung-ho about 24 hours ago about McDaniel. Yeah. That game last night made me start questioning his ability to adjust his offense.
I think it changed a lot of opinions, right? It did to me. I was kind of on your side with that, Channing. I still believe Mike McDaniel obviously knows offense. He understands the concepts he's trying to figure out. But I think the one thing he hasn't gotten through is that, especially when you don't have a quality, you know, a dependable number two, which is, that's a whole other conversation on what they did this offseason and not addressing that. You got to dumb down the offense a bit. And I know that that's not ideal for a guy who considers himself an innovative offensive guy. You don't want to cut the play sheet down to a couple plays and a couple of formations, but especially against a team like Tennessee that came in winless, that, you know, as a team, just got to keep it close and you're going to win that game. They tried to run so much of the same in the motion, the pre-snap penalties and the movement. There were opportunities there, and I'm sure when he watches the film, there are going to be a bunch of plays that Tyler Huntley missed. But, okay, he missed them because he's the fourth-string quarterback. Like you just said, the fourth-string quarterback who's been here 2 weeks. So if Tua's missing those throws, it's a concern. Tyler Huntley missing those throws, it's kind of expected. So, yeah, I do think there's some questions there about what he's been trying to do, understanding, hey, you can't keep this offense the same, especially when it's not working, especially with Tua out. You just got to find a way, and they certainly didn't last night.
Will, when we say dumb down the offense, though, I'm with you, by the way, right? Because McDaniel was even asked during the week, hey, do you just throw out your play sheet and implement 20 new plays for a quarterback that's been here 12 days? And clearly they didn't. But when we talk about dumbing down the offense, it's a conversation I've been having with Crowder for the past 2 weeks. You do that by running the football. Like, that's how the Packers survived without Jordan Love. You do it by pounding the rock as much as you can, and the Dolphins, plain and simple, can't. So where do they go from there?
And that's the thing. You say it right, Channing. We all talk about it. We have this discussion. Other teams see it. Like, other teams prep and say, oh, wow, they got their fourth-string QB. Let's put the pressure. Make him make plays. And, again, there were plays left out there. There were plays, the deep ball to Tyreek, the ball that Waddle dropped was a nice play. At least three or four, and there are probably more because I'm not, you know, we're not watching the All-22. We're just watching the game. There were probably, I can remember three or four throws Huntley had guys open and he just didn't see them. You know, he just didn't find the read and make the play. Those are things that, you know, other teams recognize. So they're going to say, hey, we're not going to let you beat us with Achane. Look, they miss Mostert a lot, too. His dependability, the tough inside yards of being able to bounce out to and make plays. That 1-2 punch was so good last year when the Dolphins were at their best. They need Mostert back. But even in the short term, they should be able to run the football. And again, that puts the pressure on the offensive line that we go back to the Chris Greer decision saying, hey, this offensive line is fine. The two decisions that are killing the Dolphins right now is saying that offensive line was fine with so many people on the outside. And we're not trying to pat ourselves on the back here because it's fans to its media said, hey, I'm not too sure about this offensive line. And number two is the backup quarterback. Like, I loved when they signed Mike White last year. I thought he was going to be a good backup. Didn't work out that way. So then Skylar Thompson had been in the system. You're like, okay, you got to find something better. Well, guess what? They didn't. They didn't really make an attempt to, and now they're paying the price big time.
And, Will, it's one thing. Even being an ex-player is one thing that I don't even call out much. I might have said it 3 or 4 times in my entire 10-year-plus career. You can call a bad offensive game. You can get some injuries. Things can happen. It seemed as if the word that I hate to say is quit. It seemed in that fourth quarter like the Dolphins hung it up. Did you feel that? Because as I was watching, I was like, I don't think these guys are worried about coming back.
Well, listen, you and I are on the same wavelength, and I think a lot of fans watched as well. And that's a tough thing to gauge because, you know, a team getting tired and not making plays, you know, the defense was out there the entire game trying to make plays, and eventually the Titans just pounded them through with their ground game and made some plays. It's hard to say someone quit, but I did ask Mike McDaniel after the game, I didn't use that word. He actually used it back. I said, do you worry that these kind of things snowball and the effort and the motivation, the desire, when just everything that's going wrong continues to go wrong and you lose games? And he said, I don't see any quit in this team. This is not in their nature. But, and he said, but we have to look each other in the face and take accountability, all of us, everyone in the building, as to what we can do better. So I don't think he's concerned with the effort, but I think it's human nature when you think you're doing your part and nothing is going well, and you have 53 guys doing the same thing, trying to figure it out, and an entire coaching staff, an entire training staff, and everybody's putting in the effort, and on the field it looks terrible. So I think that question comes to mind. I don't think guys are quitting. It's such a hard thing to say that someone is, especially 4 weeks into the season, but I do think guys are looking, and in the back of their mind they're thinking, what the hell's going on, man? This team is going in the wrong direction, and I can't save them, so I'm not sure as a unit how they do it together.
What can they do for Sunday coming up against New England? I mean, they're slight underdogs, but, you know, they're a better team than New England. But I thought they were a better team than Tennessee. So what can they do? Short week, what can Mike McDaniel do?
I mean, the only remedy, right, you can't get new players, right? You can't go out and build a new offensive line. They're not going to find a quarterback who's going to be better. I mean, it's just until Tua comes back. I think you put the ball in the hands of your playmakers, you know, and they tried at times last night. And look, Tyreek had the bad play where he just let the ball roll right in front of him, turned into a turnover. It seemed like they were driving, and that, you know, that turned the game as well. I mentioned the Waddle drop. It's almost like the big-time players in situations like this, you have to be almost perfect because you can't count on your fourth-string QB to make every single play. So the only answer you can have is hope you get Raheem Mostert back and you can do a nice 1-2 punch with him and Achane, and then put the ball in the hands of your playmakers. They tried on a couple pitches, you know, reverses to Tyreek, the fourth down that got stopped. There was another one that gained some good yards. The bomb that he overthrew. I think you just got to keep doing that. And I think on defense, they're on the field the entire game. You have to force Jacoby Brissett into a mistake, hope you get a turnover and easy points. At this point, any game the Dolphins win is going to be an ugly win, but it doesn't matter. Just get a win and try to get to the bye and then eventually get Tua back, because if they lose this game, guys, I don't care when Tua comes back. In the AFC, they're in huge trouble given already how they're dropping in the standings.
And Will, earlier, Hawk asked me about a positive, and I brought up the defense. 19 points through three quarters. Like, you're not shutting people. There's no 13-10 games in NFL nowadays. But is the defense bad? Because 31 points look bad, but I saw them get a bunch of, you know, they got a turnover early with the interception. They had some three and outs. They gave the offense opportunities. But to your point, what you just said, they might have ran out of gas just being out there that long.
Yeah, we saw it against Seattle, too. I mean, they created a couple turnovers against Seattle, including one that gave the ball inside the 10, and they had to settle for three. You know, after the quick start, the Metcalf play last week, they were very good in the second half. You know, I'm sure Seattle took their foot off the gas a bit, but still, I don't think this defense, and again, it's a defense with a new defensive coordinator, I think they'll only get better, and you hope that you get Bradley Chubb back, and, you know, there are situations where you think this team can grow there, but when the offense is going backwards, and Channing, you've been there, like you've been on both sides, I'm sure, where the defense is better than the offense or vice versa. With the offense more so of late, it's been the defense better than the offense. The last year, all of a sudden, the offense has been better, and the questions about the defense. You do start to wonder how much finger pointing goes on, how much, man, we're doing our job, you're not doing yours kind of thing happens. It's a little early to get to that point, but I don't have a real big problem with this defense. I still think they could be a good competitive winning defense if the offense is where we saw it last year. Because remember, this team is built, you got an offensive coach, you paid your team, your offensive players big time money. This is supposed to be one of the elite offenses in the league. And even with Tua healthy, they look far from that.
I will. I tell the story. I remember we were at home. I forget who we're playing. And I walked up to John Beck. And I used to do it with all the quarterbacks. Walk up to him and I say, man, what you going to throw on the board this game? Because they ain't scoring 20. I said, give me 21. We'll win the game. I got you, brother. And he slapped my helmet. They scored 9 and we lost that game. So I have been a part of some struggling offenses where you kind of just look around like, y'all can't put up double digits.
We've got our Hurricanes, Will. We've got our Hurricanes.
Can't we grab some of their points over and send them over to the Dolphins? That would
we grab their quarterback? How about we grab their quarterback and bring them over?
Cam Ward will score more. I guarantee Cam Ward will put up more points than the not 12.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, I tell people all the time, Cam is he's a redshirt NFL player. Like, he's in his redshirt NFL year. Like, he treats everything. That's the most impressive thing about him. I'm sure you guys have heard it, but he studies. He's everything about his day and his offseason and his training is about the next game and about being better. Like, I know he's technically in college, he's a college QB, but to me, he's an NFL quarterback who's just in a college uniform. I mean, that's the way he treats every game, and it's been fun to watch.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, fantasy football owners. I'm Matt Harmon from Reception Perception. Join me and James Coe as we take a deep dive into the position that will make or break your fantasy roster, wide receivers. We analyze route running, target share, and all the metrics that really matter. We do the work so that you can just make smart decisions. Sit back and amaze your friends. Your wide receiver one won't change, but it's the nitty-gritty, it's the flex, and the waiver wire pickups. That's where your league is won or lost. So follow Reception Perception on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.